free.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Time right now is 8:30. Good morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning we're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, so thank you for tuning in. My name's Colin Worthington. Excited about this morning's show. Found out about this young man about 2 weeks ago when my new best friend, Johnny Tanner, invited me out to the Kiwanis meeting a couple weeks ago on a Friday. And this gentleman was speaking out there, and just interesting story. So I thought we'd drag him on the program, and he was more than welcome to accommodate.
Yeah, glad to be here.
His name is Connor Pierce. He is a University of West Georgia graduate. Now he's a mental health therapist up at Berry. Recently hiked all 2,200 miles of the Appalachian Trail from Springer Mountain in Georgia to Mount
Katahdin.
Katahdin in Maine. And he walked through 14 states. The dude hiked it, and we're going to talk all about that. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great. That is a great story. I really enjoyed it. And we're not going to be able to touch on every single thing that you were able to accomplish and be part of in there, but love to touch on some of the highlights. First of all, give us a little bit of background. What what led you to this point where you said, you know what, I'm just going to blow off everything and go hang out in the woods for 6 months?
Yeah. I got into backpacking in undergrad and college. Fell in love with it immediately. Found a really good group of guys that we did it as often as we could. After I graduated, I was just kind of like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't have a direction. And somebody mentioned that people walk this whole thing, and I thought that was bizarre. And so I researched it for a little bit and then decided to do it because my friends were good enough to push me. They were like, dude, if you want to do it, you got to do it now. Like, and so I did it like 6 months later.
And this is 2018. So how old have you been in 2018?
Oh, I turned 26 on the trail, so I started at 25 and then turned 26.
I remember having a birthday on a train to Liverpool. I mean, when I was backpacking by myself, it's kind of sad, actually, on my birthday. You know, couldn't really celebrate it with anybody, but I was selfish.
I was with one person, and we had a good time.
Did you have cupcake?
Not on my birthday, but a few weeks later, we met up with one of my mom's friends, and she had a cake for us.
And we can touch on that, too, how you were able to meet up with people. Like, there are certain places where it's not like, you know, just initially saying, hey, you hiked this 2,200 miles. It's not like it was all just straight woods and no turning back at any point. I mean, there were options. And there were options and opportunities for you to quit. You know, because of those turns, which you
all
you
day, every day, you could quit.
Well, and let's talk about the prep too, because you think about that. You're not just going to do that, you know, on a whim and just say, "All right, well, there it is. That's the starting point. I'm going to end up in Maine, hopefully, this year." So there had to be a lot of prep and investigating. What was that like? What did that involve?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little while ago. I think that there's almost too much access to preparation out there to some degree. I mean, you know, it's good to know your gear. It's good to be like, well, researched on just kind of like the, you know, trail, like the big highlights of it, kind of know what to expect, but nothing's going to prepare you besides doing it. So as far as preparation goes, I was really versed in my gear. I had all the gear from a couple years of collecting. So that was down. I kind of figured I'd get in hiking shape out there, which you do. So I didn't do anything too much different besides I went to the gym, would load medicine balls up in my bag and just walk on the stair stepper for a little while and then leave. Just try to get used to the walking shape, I guess, with something heavy on your back. And then, yeah, you can look at the map all you want, but until you get out there, it's kind of hard to like really know what you're stepping into.
And you were able to discuss with family and friends on certain points where they, because you can't carry 6 months worth of food,
no,
or you know, clothes and you know things like that. All that, you know, I mean, how much change of clothes would you really need when you're just out there hiking?
Yeah. Two and a half.
Yeah. And did you wash in creeks?
A couple times. Yeah. But you really, it was a really nice feeling being able to throw your whole bag into like a washing machine and just get it clean and then get it dirty within 5 minutes of starting hiking again.
Because again, there are those little stops. How many potential stops are there to where you're, there's communities that you could, if you stopped and went to every community that had an option, had a...
I couldn't even count them. I mean, so hundreds probably, yeah. The culture of like around the trail is really passionate and like consistent.
Mm-hmm. How many hikers did you see out there, you think, of that whole trip? How many people did you come across?
So Rue hikers or just anybody?
I'd say hikers, people that okay. were part of the trail and that were trying to experience the same thing that you were. Again, in the hundreds.
If we're talking any hikers, yeah, probably like hundreds. Yeah. Through hikers, probably, I met intimately probably like 20, 25.
Well, let's start off in Georgia. You got some guessing friends and family dropped you off, said, see ya, good luck.
Yeah, pretty
and,
much.
Yeah, I mean, once you stepped foot on that trail, what was it, you know, ever a point where you said,
No, at that point it was just so exciting, and it just had like no clue what was like around the metaphorical and literal corner because I'd never done that section, and it was just excitement. And then because I knew going into it, like on day four, that's going to be my longest time ever in the woods consecutively. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of waiting for that marker, and then it got there, and I was like, all right, I guess this is me now. And then there's stages, I think, that everybody goes throughout there. It's like the honeymoon initial excitement. Then you kind of like are like, all right, this is real. Then you get used to it. And then there's usually at some point, everybody I've met says there's a part where there's a sharp decline in like, what am I doing? Emotional, like, you know, it's tough to like keep your emotions level out there of like what you're doing, why you're doing it, all this stuff. And then it shoots back up.
Maybe we'll inspire somebody to do that today. You talking about it once they hear that story. What all did you pack? And like, you know, is it just a normal size backpack? Was there? You know, and I talked to you a little bit about, you know, any trips I've taken. The first time, I know I overpacked because I didn't want to be without. I wanted to have multiple clothes to wear. I didn't want to meet somebody on a Tuesday wearing something that they saw me on a Wednesday wearing the same thing, which is stupid in hindsight, obviously. But you know, when you're traveling, but that was my mistake. But you, what did you pack? And
I think a lot of people share the experience of like overpacking a little bit. I sent a bunch of stuff home. But you know, I had like the big three: sleeping bag, tent, and pad. And then, my food bag, and then like a toiletries kind of like miscellaneous bag. But over time I ended up sending my stove home and like pot to cook in. Cause
so that looked a little green lantern.
It was probably like this big, yeah. And just like a little stove this big that you'd screw onto a fuel canister. And I'll tell you what, one of the funniest jokes we used to have out there is like how lazy through hikers really are. Like, you know, I'll walk 31 miles in a day, but I don't want to cook ramen at the end of it. And so I sent my stove home and just ate cold, like tuna packets and tortillas and mayonnaise and stuff.
And you were able to stop off at the Dollar General stores, right?
Yes. That was my favorite store. Dollar General's, and then they would have some like hostel kind of like barns and sheds that the hostel owners would set up with a bunch of kind of classically hiker food.
Mm-hmm. And as far as sending things back, I mean, did you do that like through the mail, or just you had points where your family and friends would meet you and collect those things?
Yeah, through the mail. Like you would just have to plan like, all right, there's a post office in this town and, you know, 4 days ahead, you'd get there and the post office would be like open from Tuesday to Wednesday from like 12 to 3 because, you know, it's a town of 40 people. And so you'd be like, all right, either we wait here or we hit the next post office. And then whenever you found one that was open and you were there in time, you just box it up, send it home.
Were you able to do that, I guess, in reverse? Were people able to mail things to post offices? Like you say, well, I plan to be in this town on this day. You can mail.
Yes. And I didn't do that as often as one might think because you're sort of, when somebody's shipping you something, you're sort of at the mercy of where that package might be at a certain day. Mm-hmm. And if there's maybe one thing I learned out there, it was make a plan, but prepare to deviate from it. Because you just never know what was going to happen. I mean, maybe your knee starts hurting and you do 5 miles instead of the 20 you wanted to. Well, you got to make up that 15 the next day, so that might put you back a whole nother day. And so if you were really trying to, like, swiftly do it, it could sometimes be, like, logistically difficult to nail the post office. And then what if you got there and it wasn't there?
Yeah, right.
You're going to wait another day or two or three? I mean.
And not that the post man or woman is ever slow or behind.
No.
My guest this morning, Connor Pierce. He's a University of West Georgia graduate. And he 2018, he hiked all 2,200 miles of the Appalachian Trail. He made a presentation at the Kiwanis Club last Friday that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I thought encouraged him to come on the program to share that with you guys. And I think it's just a very cool story. And we'll, I think in the next segment, I'm really just going to set it off and just let you go. I mean, you know, I've asked too many questions at this point that were unnecessary, because you definitely have a cool story that you can share. Yeah, we'll take our first break here. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy. We are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, so any questions or comments, feel free to post those on there, and I will share them with our guest. Back with more after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. We're also on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page this morning. Connor Pierce, University of West Georgia graduate, and a recently hiked all 2,200 miles of the Appalachian Trail. We got some people checking in this morning. Brian Preston, good friend of ours. He says, this is awesome. Kiss 102.7 checking in. She says, hi, Connor. Do you know Jessica? I don't know what her fake last name is. I think her real name is, last name is Crook.
Oh, God.
She used to work over there at the, am I right there, Josh? Yeah, okay. She used to work at Printer's Ale. We swiped her from Printer's Ale.
Oh, then
and
probably.
She does the morning show.
Yeah, if I'm thinking of the same person, I think it was a different last name.
Maybe. But it might, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And she does say hi to me, too, because we gave her a hard time the other day because she didn't say hi to Josh, who was on the show. She said hi to the guest, but just kind of left Josh out. So it was like, that's not cool. So now she's making the extra effort to say hello.
Nice.
So hello.
Well, hello, Jessica.
All right. Let's go back. I mean, really, I'm so excited about this conversation, and there's so many things I want to talk about, but I know I just need to let you take care of that. I initially got you to the point where you dropped off and you're starting out.
Yeah.
Lead us from there. I mean, because, again, you had a nice presentation from this, and I want you to be able to talk about all the things that you think are important regarding this.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I met Fun Size, which is the first thru-hikers trail name that I ever met. I walked with her for about Georgia, North Carolina, roughly, and that was when it kind of became real, where I was like, oh, I'm meeting my first thru-hiker. Like, she had hiked the Continental Divide Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, so I was, like, starstruck, kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had walked 7,000 miles before I met her.
Hiking legend.
Yeah, I mean, totally. like, people know her name. And that was really cool, and I think that's when it really set in, and then after that, it was just kind of like trying to balance, like, staying in awe of, like, what you're doing and, like, listening to your body, which was the first lesson I learned. My right knee still hurts sometimes, definitely when I hike, too, for trying to hike with Fun Size, because I liked her. She was really, really cool. I learned a lot from her, and she was putting in miles double what I could in a day at the time, because I was a baby hiker out there.
Well, did you feel the need to keep up with her because she was the first one
because she's
a legend? And
yeah, she was just cool, and like it was nice to have company. She was the first and only person I had seen out there, so I was like, oh, she's cool. Like, we're having a great time. We hit it off. Like, we're having fun. Like, I'm learning a lot. And then my knee was like, nah, dude, slow down. And
yeah, but do you recommend to people, I mean, from the start, I mean, take that cue?
Yes. Just because you are not sore does not mean that your body is ready to do those miles. And I mean, if I could go back in time, the one thing I would do different is in Georgia, I would have taken an extra 2 or 3 days to get out of there just to ease more into it.
This morning before the program, when you got here, we talked a little bit. You know, we were hanging out with this lot, you know, Josh and Joel talking about the trips. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Josh always goes for the scary stuff. He wanted to hear those kind of stories. What were the scariest moments on that trip? I mean, again, you're in the woods for the majority of this. It's 2,200 miles. You're going through states. Yeah. I'm guessing you hadn't been to at least some of those states.
Most of them. Well, yeah.
So were there moments that were, you know, that you – I don't want to say that you regretted being there, but you were kind of scared.
Yeah, one that sticks out, there was a shelter, like an old kind of like wooden shelter in Maine, and you walk up to it, and at this point I was by myself, which kind of exacerbates the freakiness of the story, but I'm by myself, I walk up to the shelter, which is where I like to eat lunch, because you can just sit underneath something and kind of throw your stuff down, whatever, and you get in the shelter, and there's this like sign that's like, hey, X amount of years ago, this person went missing, has never been, like, no body's been found. Yeah. Like, here's, like, a picture of them. And it was like, this shelter is the last known place of their, like, of them being alive or, like, you know, within recognition. Yeah. And I was like, okie dokie, yeah. I am going to not stay here and keep
walking.
You
look closely, but, and you just passed them a mile back.
Yeah, like, dude, there was just something about, and like, it's a notoriously rumored to be haunted shelter. And like, when I saw the sign, it clicked that that's what people behind me were talking about. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll eat lunch elsewhere. You just kind of get this, I don't know if it was the sign or what, but you're just like, this doesn't feel right.
Did you go back and Google that and get a little more information on the history? Because I would almost have to leave, like, somebody, I mean, I can't. I don't have the image of what that actual sign looked like, if it was just kind of rudimentarily put together or whatever.
Sort of memorial, like, looking, if that makes sense, but it was not like a stone memorial sign. It was a little, like, hybrid in between.
So you never thought for a second there's some guy up on the hill just laughing because he knows he's torturing the hikers.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Probably. But that shelter was really clean, meaning I don't think a lot of people stayed there.
Are your best memories, you know, through areas that you you know, hiked because of the beauty or the scenery or the mountain, or are your best memories associated with people that you met?
That's a great question. Definitely a little bit of both, but if I had to pick one answer, it was with the people. And honestly, the most accurate answer, the most memorable parts of that trail are the parts that were like that sucked the most for whatever reason. I'm a big believer in, like, you know, certain levels and degrees of suffering out there, and like when you're choosing it. To be like a,
not when the bear's choosing it for you.
Yeah. But when you're choosing it to be a very big, like, feeder into, like, the overall experience of it. Like, there's a story that the one story that sticks out the most to me, period, is what me and the two guys I was with, Big Tuna and Lakopa, what we still to this day refer to as the Massey Gap incident. And we were in the Grayson Highlands, and it was snowing. It had been snowing. The Grayson Highlands are really flat. Not a lot of tree overhang on the trail, so all the snow is piling up, and it's the most snow I've ever seen in real life. And, you know, we're hiking through it day in and day out. The temperature was getting really, really, like, unexpectedly cold. We get to the shelter near Massey Gap, which is an exit to the Grayson Highlands. We stay the night in the shelter. We're just trying to get warm. We're trying to plan what we're about to do. We woke up the next morning, and snow had blown into the shelter and covered, like, it looked like a blanket of snow over our sleeping bags, like, everything. Not one of us could fit our feet in our shoes because they were frozen, so, like you couldn't get your feet in there. And so we were just like, okay, this, like, actually kind of sucks. Like, this is no longer kind of funny. Like, we need to get out of here because, like, we literally can't go. I'm not going to walk in socks. It's 11 degrees. And so we stayed in the shelter and just, like, lit up our stoves and tried to, like, hold our boots over the thing to, you know, de-ice them. And it was the coldest I've ever been in my life. And we were just like, you know what? Let's go to a hostel and just wait this out for a second.
And it's good you guys had to have those options. I mean, the hostels. Yeah. And did you have to pay for the hostels?
Yeah, and they're really cheap. I mean, depending on like kind of where you were and who it was, I mean, you could stay in a bunk bed for like $11, $20.
Because it sounds like, I mean, and listening to your presentation a couple weeks ago, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, there were people on that trail who really just wanted to help. I mean, they were there, and they may, you know, offered, you know, small cabins or anything temporarily. And
oh yeah, that trail angels is what we call them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a beautiful aspect of it. I mean, some people like dedicate their lives to like being trail angels. I mean, I would meet people and you'd get to talking to them like, where are you from? And they're like, oh, I'm from like California. And you're like, okay, what brought you out here? And they're like, this, like, I live half a mile from the trail. My house is like open to all hikers who know about it. And we come out here during the season and just leave boxes of trail magic in different places. And we give hikers rides so they don't have to hitchhike, and like, it's good stuff.
It ended up being a 6-month trip. Is that what it was?
Mine was 135 days, which I think is like 4.5 exactly.
Okay. Is that about what you picked? I mean, did you predict that when
before? I predicted about 5.
Yeah. All right. Before we do take, let me ask one more question. Mm-hmm. You were talking about being stuck in the, you know, when it was snowing and you kind of, you know, with these three guys or two guys hanging out. Did you have any sort of entertainment that you brought for yourself? Did you bring a deck of cards?
So I think one of us had a
Game Boy.
One of us had a deck of cards, no Game Boy. That's actually a good idea in retrospect. But you're kind of concerned with weight. And I was just like, I don't know if I would need that. I mean, what if it gets ruined and I have to carry it? I didn't. But the guys I walked with in particular, man, our banter was the entertainment. We would, how much longer do we have for the break?
No, it's fine. Yeah.
Our biggest form of entertainment was whenever we would meet people, you meet these people for 30 seconds to 5 minutes to maybe 30 minutes on the trail, and then you never see them again, usually. And we would create for weeks and days and hours these elaborate, made-up, fictional backstories to, like, their entire life. So, like, we'd meet their trail name. I might learn 5 facts about them. And then afterwards, we would just riff back and forth about, like, where they came from, who they were, how they got to be the way they were, just these, you know, fictional tales. And so over time, we had this enormous collection of characters that weren't even necessarily their trail names. It was what we called them by. And it was, oh, what if these two people know each other? And that's why he was blah, blah, blah. And like, it was so funny, dude.
Connor Pierce, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. He's a University of West Georgia graduate, Carrollton High School graduate. But his claim to fame today is that he hiked all 2,200 miles of the Appalachian Trail from Georgia up to Maine. Walk through 14 states. We're going to take our final break here, come back hopefully about 8 minutes. And again, if you're watching on the WLBB Facebook page, please post any comments or questions there, and I'll share them with our guest. I believe Joel's showing some pictures on Facebook of the hike just throughout our program. So maybe that last segment, if he hasn't got them all up there. And at the final picture, I definitely want to put that up at the last segment. And we'll discuss his last day on the trail as well. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Connor Pierce. He recently hiked all 2,200 miles of the Appalachian Trail, and we're talking about that, his experience and what he's learned. I don't know I don't think you did in this conversation, but just talked about why you initially did that, you know, what you were hoping to find and transfer, and was that successful?
I think I was out there. I just felt kind of stuck and unsure about what my next like steps were, period, professionally, just anything. And so I think I went out there with like the expectation of like, man, when I hit Katahdin at the end, I'm going to have this profound insight into what I'm going to do, where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it.
So not even so much the journey. You were thinking that
well, I mean, I just think like I wanted to get out there and hike. But I think an expectation I had deep down was like, when I get done with this, I'll know what I'll be able to reflect out there and, you know, maybe have an idea. And was sorely, sorely disappointed when I got to the top and I didn't have that. But I do think I would much rather take what I ended up, you know, obtaining out there mentally and emotionally, I think.
How did you get back? You didn't hike back.
Some people do, by the way, which is wild. They call that a yo-yo hike. But I hitchhiked from the Baxter State Park to Portland, Maine, and then rode a train from Portland to Boston, and then Boston to Gainesville, Georgia.
Do you think you were fearless once you, I mean, did it change? I mean, any kind of fear you had inside you of things, being worried about anything, maybe not, you know, thinking about things that you maybe didn't feel confident to go through. I mean, once you got to that end, was it just like, you know, I'm not worried about anything. I mean, I just, you know, whatever I think is good, I'm going to do.
Dude, I still carry a little bit of that. I think about this trail every single day in some capacity or another. And one of the things I think about quite a bit is just like if I'm doing something like hard at work, like I sometimes literally joke with myself. I'm like, dude, I climbed the Mahoosic Notch. I can do this.
Dude, was there a little bit of sadness when you were done, or are you completely like, you know, ready to end?
Oh, it was devastating.
Yeah.
It was 100% devastation and 100% like the most joy I've ever experienced in my life, like existing simultaneously. It was a really, emotional and very intense summit to the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was grief mixed with joy.
The day before you finally did, finish it. I guess what time of day did you finally accomplish it? You know, when you went to bed that night or mm-hmm. went to sleep that night, and could you sleep, or was it did you only have to walk an hour that next day to get there? What was that?
So Baxter State Park is pretty revered in Maine, and they kind of funnel you into this campground because you have to register yourself when you get in there. And so I camped the night before at the base of Katahdin with a bunch of people who were kind of out there doing like day hikes or like weekend trips with their families. Camped beside a couple of people, told them what I was doing. We kind of had a good time that night. They built us a fire. The next morning from that base camp to the top of Katahdin, I think it's like 7 miles. So it's a little longer than you kind of expect when you get there. But I probably summited at 10:30 in the morning that morning, June 17th.
So I mean, what time did you leave that morning?
It's
like 6:30.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, probably right at or right before sunrise.
Yeah, there's no reason to lollygag once you wake up and you're on the trail, I'm guessing. You know,
I think
the cats or anything.
I think that day, though, I was walking a little slower than I normally did just because I was like, man, this is it. Like, it is over.
How often were you able to communicate with friends and family, and were they able to reach out to you? I mean, I'm sure there might have been times they didn't hear from you from a day or two. I mean, there might have been concern. Sure.
Some of the best service I've ever had have been at the top of some of those mountains. Yeah. I mean, you're reachable. Sometimes I would just not check my phone because nothing was going on and we were just kind of getting lost in the hike, so to speak. But I could get in touch with anybody within a day usually. There weren't many days where you just have no service the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Any intentions to do it again or do something similar?
Man, if I had the time and resources,
yeah,
I would.
That's the burden.
I would do the Pacific Crest Trail.
Is that one federally? I mean, because the Appalachian Trail, I mean, it was like started in the 20s or something, right?
I mean, I think it was the oldest one. But the Pacific Crest Trail goes from Mexico to Canada through California, Oregon, and Washington. Mm-hmm. That's like a whole different, not harder necessarily from what I understand, but just a different kind of animal. I mean, you're on the two coasts, so it's just different scenery and everything.
Well, congrats. Being an adult now, it's a burden. You can't do that stuff.
Yeah, don't grow up.
Yeah. Connor, thank you for coming out this morning.
Yeah, thanks for
having
me.
Very cool story. I'm glad to hear it for a second time. And again, a lot of people chiming in who appreciated that.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, and if you listen to us on the radio this morning, you want to see some of the pictures of his trip, those are posted to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page that shares this interview. Time right now is 8:59. Stay tuned for national headlines, followed by Glenn Beck, and then local news will roll around about 9:30 this morning. Again, thanks for tuning in, and have a great Thursday, everybody.